The devil likes to tell us a lie that we cannot have joy or happiness or abundant life or freedom based on a circumstance that we're going through. And again, that is a lie. It doesn't match scripture. And God has truth for us that sets us free. So today I just want to briefly address trials and what God's provision is and some tips on getting through them so that it doesn't off-end your Christian faith. I'll talk to you in a minute. Welcome to the More Power Than You Think podcast. I'm Jennifer Scow. After receiving a bipolar diagnosis in 2013, God taught me that His solution to the messiness of life was not changed circumstances, but rather a transformation of the mind to Christ's perspective. More Power Than You Think refers to the power we have to be changed and transformed based solely on what we think and believe in our mind. Renewing the mind is so much more than overcoming thoughts of depression and anxiety. It is choosing thoughts that have the power to unify instead of divide, love instead of hate, surrender instead of resist. It is the key to loving God properly, getting through suffering without accusing God, and prevents regret, sin, shame, and guilt. Everything we do today begins with a thought in our mind and what we choose to do with it. On this podcast, we learn to renew the mind in every area of our lives so we can live, love, and be loved in the way Christ intended. I do understand that sometimes the pain and suffering that people go through really do make it seem like the promises of God can't apply to them. But not only does Scripture prove that that's a lie, so does humankind, and not just Christians. History is full of people, lost and saved, that chose to rise above and live abundantly despite the horrible atrocities that they went through. Now, of course, as a Christian, we go on into eternity and probably would have rewards for getting through our trial and deciding to live abundantly anyway. A lost person doesn't have that eternal reward. But I guess what I'm saying is, even the lost world rises above their trials. So we just cannot say that our trial makes it impossible to live a beautiful life. It's really important to get past that lie because we want our Christian lives to be built on a foundation of truth. And if we go through life feeling like a victim and like the promises of God can't apply to us because of our circumstances, we're going to stay stuck and we're going to get to the end of our life and look back on a life that wasn't lived. So I'm actually going to take you through things that I teach in my 9-hour curriculum that I wrote, the Diving Deep Bible Study. And I'm just pulling out bits and pieces and of the layers that God has created in that Bible study. Everything we go through in life needs to apply these layers. So I'm going to start with motive. And I spend over an hour on motive in my course, but I'm just going to say a couple things here. In order to get through our trial, number one, we need to make sure our motive is correct. Motive is the true core reason that drives us to take action. The correct motive keeps us in God's will and builds a relationship with God. The wrong motive does not. Mark 12:30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment, and this is our motive. This is what should drive every decision we make, including our perspective of our trial. We must have the correct motive so that we choose the correct action so that we can love God and fulfill our purpose. If our motive is off, we won't be motivated to get through our trial with Christ's perspective. Meaning if our motive isn't to love God and please God, our trial is going to off-end us, and we'll talk about that more as I continue. Secondly, faith and how it applies to trials. To get through trials, you must be loyal to believing God's word is true, or you will waver with doubt, feel like a victim, and possibly accuse God. Some important things that we need to believe and understand. The severity of our trial does not affect the truth or faithfulness of God or Scripture. If you've ever heard someone say, "That Scripture doesn't work for me, you don't know what I've been through," then they're believing the lie that the severity of their trial makes God's word untrue. But that's a lie. There is no trial we can go through that makes us exempt from God's provision in His word. And then secondly, it's important to recognize that emotions don't change the truth of Scripture. A perfect example of this is Job and his wife. You know, we often neglect to contemplate the intense grief they were in. I mean, not only did they lose their livelihood and all of their servants except for maybe three, but they lost their children. I mean, all of their children, and all in the same day. I can't imagine that kind of grief. I have not experienced the grief of even one child or a spouse or a very, very close relative or friend. I mean, I can't imagine. And so they were both going through the same intense emotion of grief. But look at the different outcomes. Job held fast. He had unwavering faith and loyalty to believing God's word was true and believing who God is and that He is unchanging. His emotion did not off-end his faith and commitment and motive. But his wife, unfortunately, forsook her motive to love God with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength. She lost her faith and her loyalty to God, and she forsook her husband. So emotions are very powerful. We have to realize they don't change the truth of Scripture. This is especially true if your trial involves mental instability. I had to learn that truth when I was diagnosed with bipolar because my emotions would lie to me all the time. And so I had to go to the compass of God's word and choose to believe that instead of my emotions. Next, concerning faith, this is my definition of faith. Believing Scripture despite your circumstances. Resting in God's truth despite the storm. Trusting God will do what He has promised. He cannot lie. One way to test your faith is to examine how you're responding when you hear other people's trials. When you hear a story of an 18-year-old girl being hit by a car and killed, how do you handle that? Do you accuse God in your mind? Do you say, "God, what was the point of that? How could you have done that?" Or when you hear things that just don't make sense, Sandy Hook, there's so many examples. Are you wavering in your faith? Are you accusing God? It's really good to notice how you respond to that, because that means that if your response isn't unwavering faith and trust in God, then you should examine that so that if God allows a battle of that magnitude in your life, you won't be offended. You need to choose ahead of time that your faith is going to be strong before the trial comes. Now, next, we've talked about motive, we've talked about faith. We're going to talk just for a second about renewing the mind. I'm just going to basically read you one verse, and I didn't write down the reference. Sorry about that. But the Scripture says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And I'm drawn to that verse because God chose to include that phrase, "in your minds." God is acknowledging that this is where the battle takes place, in the mind. When you are in a battle, you're going to get weary. And so God wants you to look at Christ's example. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." When we compare our trial to his and see his behavior and actions through his trial, it should encourage us to follow his example. We are to follow Christ's example in order to get through our trials and still keep the abundant life Christ desires for us. By doing this, trials give us the opportunity to model the characteristics of the Savior. Our behavior during a trial gives us a chance to be a light for Christ to those, as Dr. John Van Gelderen put it, are starving to see Jesus. And he also said that seeing Jesus in you nourishes people around you. I love the picture that that creates. When people see us choose to stay resilient and peaceful and God-centered and trusting and not bitter and hopeful through our circumstances, we nourish their soul because we are being the light that God wants us to be. And we're being used of God to encourage them either to get saved eventually or encourage them in their own trial that they're going through as a brother or sister in Christ. I want to mention, when a trial is happening and you're innocent and the things that are happening to you are just wrong, this could be you're an employee somewhere and your employer is awful. This could be you're in a church and the leadership is awful. It could be in a marriage where there's an abusive leadership position of the spouse. There's manipulation and abuse, emotional abuse going on from the spouse to the wife and the children. And Jesus sees you and he's made provision for that. You might want to later look in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, 18 through 24. But I want you to notice Christ's example, because if we adopt this mindset, then we're not going to feel like victims in our trial. You know, Jesus' trial wasn't his fault. He was blameless. But yet his behavior and attitude through his trial was our example. I mean, that's why he wrote that verse, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." So let's look at this verse, well, this collection of verses. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." So you're in this position where you're being treated unjustly. "For what glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently?" God is saying, if you've done something wrong and you're being reprimanded and you take it well, you're just doing the right thing. We are supposed to be teachable, and if we do something wrong, we should be able to take the correction. But then he gives us this provision, this example, this guidance, this encouragement for when we are being treated unjustly. He says, "But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." And then he says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." These scriptures are telling us, in these situations where we're being treated unjustly, and it's not an option for you to escape, it's not always an option to change your circumstances. So if you have to remain in this scenario where you are being treated badly, God is saying, "I see you, and I have provision for you, and you can take it patiently." And that's where I left off. I said, "But if when you do well, you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That part right there means that Jesus claimed that scripture, "Where justice is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." He didn't try to take care of the revenge. He let God do it. And that's one way that Jesus had perfect peace, because he put his trials in the hands of the Father. I said, "When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Christ is making provision in those collection of verses that he sees you, and he still wants you to take that trial patiently. Do not have a victim mindset. It's your choice to feel that way or believe that way. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Some examples of this would be Corrie Ten Boom. She was a prisoner of war. She lost her whole family in the death camps. And when she came out of that horrendous trial that I don't know that any of us could comprehend that level of suffering and the suffering of even just seeing what she saw, even if some of it didn't happen directly to her body and to her. But her testimony is a life of abundant life. Her testimony is a life of trusting God through the trial. You know, see how that's a lie of the devil when he tells us that we cannot have abundant life if because of our circumstances? We think that the circumstance has to change before we can have that, but it's a choice. We may have to endure some pain while the circumstance is happening, but that does not keep us through peace. Think of Jesus on the cross and even in the garden before he went to the cross. He was suffering and he was in pain, yet he had perfect peace. And until God turned his back when Jesus became our sin, he also had perfect fellowship. And then my mentor, my favorite mentor that I love to talk about is Darlene Dobler-Rose. She was also a prisoner of war. She was in a Japanese prison camp during World War II. And there's one example I love to tell, and I call it peace in a box. Darlene had just been beaten again in interrogation on death row, and she was then thrown back into her dirty cell. There in the dark, with a body that weighed 60 pounds, and she had dysentery and malaria and dropsy, and her hair was pure white from malnutrition. But she went into the privacy of her heart before the Lord, and the tears turned on, and she just began to worship. God poured his tenderness upon her, and peace and overwhelming love from her Savior filled her heart, and God ministered to her. And Darlene testified that her peace did not depend on her circumstances, that after just being physically beaten and tormented, she was able to have beautiful fellowship with God. She was rejoicing. She was rejoicing to the point where she even feels like God had sent angels to sing to her. So again, if the devil, don't believe the devil's lie that you can't have peace and fellowship with God and joy, even though you're having a circumstance that is horrible. And then another example I like to tell about Darlene is, even though Darlene suffered significantly and the beatings was just a part of it, she had the opportunity to witness to her very violent and wicked camp director named Mr. Yamaji. And in her testimony where she talks about how she was able to witness to him, she said to him, "Maybe God brought me here just for you. If you were to believe, it would be worth everything it cost me." She was willing to adopt Christ's mindset. See, Jesus said that same thing. If you were to believe, it would be worth everything it cost me. Those are words Jesus would say to us. He would say, "Jennifer, if you would just believe, it's worth everything it cost me on the cross. It's worth my Heavenly Father turning his back on me. It's worth the shame that I endured." Remember, it said, despising the shame, he endured the cross. That's the mindset that we are to have concerning our trials. And God doesn't just say, "Put up with it, deal with your trial." He doesn't have that kind of attitude towards us. He bathes us in promises and provision from Scripture of comfort and tenderness and loving kindness. We just have to claim it. Back to the curriculum that I wrote, the next thing I talk about is prayer. And I, again, just picked out a couple pieces. The way to attain the grace and the peace and the provision and the protection of your heart and mind through your trial is prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need." If we're not praying, then we are not accessing all of the grace, mercy, and help that God has for us. And the same principle here in Philippians 4:6 through 7. "Be careful for nothing." That means don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Go to God and pour your heart out, and here's what God's going to do for you. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that he says passeth all understanding, because it is a miracle that people can go through the suffering that they have and still have peace at the end, like Darlene after just being beaten. And the testimony of my pastor and his wife, they lost their son when he was 9 months old. He died in the pastor's arms. But before they even left the hospital, their testimony was that they could feel that they were enveloped in the peace that passeth all understanding. But they had to choose that peace. That peace is available to all of us, but we have to choose it. And then, Bible. We will struggle to get through our trials if we have a lack of knowledge. In John 8, 31 and 32, God says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are only as free as the truth we know. Scripture is where we get the promises of provision so that we can get through our trial. But if we don't know Scripture, we don't even know what promises are available to us. Psalm 119, 92 through 94 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And then, sorry, again, I didn't write the reference down for this, but for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Scripture is where we are going to get our strength to endure our trial. And then lastly, the last module of my course is God Becomes Enough. When we incorporate a correct motive, unwavering faith, renewing the mind, prayer, and Scripture as we navigate through our trial, God becomes enough. When God becomes enough, it doesn't matter what circumstances and trials befall us, because we remain secure, satiated, and at perfect peace, because our hope is in the unchanging, loving hand of our Father, and we won't be off-ended. No matter what happens, no matter if we lose our best friend, our spouse, our church, no matter if the things that made us feel secure, like our home or our job or our children, are gone. When God becomes enough, those things won't shake our faith, and we won't feel like a victim, and we will still be able to display and model Christ's example. And that's how you're going to get to the finish line to hear well done. So don't believe the lie that you have to wait for your circumstances to change for you to have the promises and provision of the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. But it is something that we have to choose. We have to choose to rise above the circumstances. And again, I'm going to just acknowledge, I understand that sometimes our circumstances are not going to change in this lifetime. I am not trying to paint this facade and this unrealistic picture that pain is not associated with God's promises. You know, in the earlier years when bipolar was, I was so unstable and still suicidal, and I was learning to grab onto God's promises, I was enduring the pain while believing the promises. And if you're in a situation where there's harm coming to you, whether that's by an employer, a church, your spouse, or a different relationship, but you can't get out of that relationship, then yes, that's going to be painful. But they can't control your heart and your spirit and your relationship with God. And that's why you need to bathe yourself in Scripture and in prayer so that you can keep that connection with your Savior, so that you are deepening that fellowship. And God will create, if we create our own armor, we become hard-hearted and we shut people out, and then we're not going to be Christ-like anymore. But if we let God create the armor, by clothing us in his love and being so firm and steadfast in his promises, we're going to be able to get through these hardships, but remain tender and blameless like Scripture wants us to. Now, if you would like to take my course so that you can go through all of these layers that I just described, I mean, I took little itty-bitty pieces from each layer and tried to convey how they can apply to your trials, because I want you to know that you can have abundant life no matter what you are going through. Abundant life can begin this moment. It's a choice away. But if you really want to just get all the layers that God gave me when he had me create this curriculum, then I would encourage you to take the course. You can find it at thedivingdeepbiblestudy.com. And if you have a circumstance that you're not sure how to handle, how do you have the mind of Christ through your exact circumstance and you're struggling to find the answers that you need, then you can go to my website, jenniferscow.com, and you'll see there that I have coaching. I call it More Power Than You Think coaching. And I call it that because when we claim our control of choosing that God gave us, it will change our lives. It's called renewing the mind, and renewing the mind is what brings a transformed life. And sometimes we need somebody to help us to know exactly how to do that so that we can get victory. Because again, our circumstances might not change, but we can still have victory. So I have those resources for you. And if that's not something you can afford, then just keep listening to the podcast, because my prayer is always that God is going to help me teach things that are going to help you become free, because that's the kind of life God wants us to live. I hope that was helpful to you. I hope that you gained some freedom. Stay in your Bible and stay on your knees, and you are going to find the grace and the peace and the protection of your heart and mind that you need to get through your trial.
Let me encourage you. There is no life God cannot use. Let me remind you. There is no sin he won't forgive. Let me convince you. No matter what scars your past may hold, to him your worth will always be the same. Value doesn't change with each success or with each failure. Your value doesn't change with every sin. Your value lies within the price he already paid. So accept your worth in Christ and rise above your hurts and let your life be used. As you shine his light, your own heart will start to heal. You'll want to reach out to those hurting just like you. You have so much to give, and there are lives you can help change. Teach them where their true value lies. Your value doesn't change with each success or with each failure. Your value doesn't change. Rise above your hurts and let your life be used. Even when you're secure And knowing God's love will never change, you may get discouraged dealing with this old sinful frame. Every day you'll need to depend upon His grace. Being born again is only the beginning of His love. Your value doesn't change with each success or with each failure. Your value doesn't change with every sin. Your value lies within the price He already paid. So accept your worth in Christ and rise above your hurts and live.